Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Tonight, and I'll invite you to turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 25. And I want to share a thought with you tonight out of the Word of God. And just try to be a blessing and a help. But I want to give the Lord glory tonight because He's worthy of our praise. Amen. And He deserves everything we have to give tonight. And if you're on the fence tonight, let me tell you from somebody who was on the fence at one time but ain't no more. Just go ahead and get on His side. Amen. Amen. And I can tell you tonight it's good on this side. Yeah. Amen. And I'm glad to be here tonight. When you find your place, Matthew 25, I invite you to stand with me if you would please. In honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And now I've got two outlines up here, and I'm going to try my best not to preach both of them, but I'm going to use the introduction of one and the outline of another. And so y'all pray for me. Man, I'll probably get lost somewhere along the way. But I want to share with you this text this morning, or this evening, and get my nerves out of the way as we read here. I want you to notice verse number 1. Matthew 25, the Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" You may be seated this evening. And I want to preach on this thought tonight, and I want to take my thought out of another verse tonight, talking about this very thing in the book of James, chapter 5, verse number 7. James gives this admonition to the Jewish believers as he was preaching there in the text: "Brethren, to be patient unto the coming of the Lord." And I want to preach on tonight, patient unto the coming of the Lord. And I believe that's what this text is talking about tonight. And I fear in this day, and before I pray, I want to make this statement: I'm not hearing much preaching anymore on the second coming. And I've thought about it a lot over the last weeks and months, and I have access to some messages by some men that were in their prime in the 50s and 60s, and I've been listening to their preaching, and I found that 50 to 75% of their preaching centered around two things, centered around either the second coming or the subject of hell. And I don't want to get away from those things, because that's where they found success at. And I'm not interested in finding success so that men might be able to look at me and say he's been successful, but I want the Lord to be pleased with my life. And if it was right then and it worked then, I believe it's right and it'll work now. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Our Father, God, we bow before you tonight in Jesus' name, thanking you for the grace that's brought us this safely, this way once again, allowing us to come to the house of God, to gather together, Lord, in the fellowship of the brotherhood. And God, I pray that you would help us tonight as we preach. God, I pray you'd fill us with power, give us clarity of mind, clarity of thought, God, that we would speak all those things that would be pleasing unto you. God, I pray you'd help us to remember every verse, God, that you would have us to speak, God, and help us to say nothing that would be displeasing to you tonight. Rid us of the flesh, rid us of sin. And God, I pray you'd fill us with the Holy Ghost tonight. God, I pray for this church. And in the days ahead, God, as they have great vision for you, for souls to be saved, for you to get glory in this place, God, I pray you do a work. And God, I just want to stop and say thank you for what you've done in my heart in this place over the last years. God, you've been so good. And Lord, I give you praise tonight. Help us now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight, as I've read this text in your hearing and given you the thought, patient unto the coming of the Lord, I want to establish some truth concerning this text tonight. And for some odd reason, this text has got a lot of debate that goes on about it amongst commentators. And I don't want to try to put any of that to rest tonight because I'm just a young man and my thoughts and opinions are not that much. But I want to give you what the truth of the Word of God tells us tonight and just establish the context in which it was written tonight. And then we'll look at the characters and then I'll give you the conclusion of the message tonight. So there's 3 points. Let's go home. Amen. Let's look at the text tonight. Matthew 25, he begins in verse number 1. He says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. I want you to notice that first word. He says, "then." And in this portion of Scripture that I've read and you're hearing this evening, this is a portion of the Olivet Discourse. You'll find 2 parables in this portion there. Verses 1 through 13, you have the parable of the 10 virgins. And then in verses 14, down through about verse number 30, you have the parable of the talents. And I was listening just a few weeks ago when Dr. Barker preached this during your missions conference and done a tremendous job. And I've had this thought on my mind for weeks now, and it seems like everywhere I've been, the Lord just gives me a little more, and so I'll preach it again and add what He gives me to it. But I want to say this tonight. In context, we've got to look back to where it began. In Matthew 24, Jesus begins in the beginning of the chapter as He sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples come unto Him and they asked Him a question. In verse 3, the Bible says they came unto Him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world?" Now that word translated "world" there means the end of the age or the end of the day of grace. And what you'll find here in this text is Matthew 24 is dealing with the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, when Israel is going to be punished for their rejection of the Messiah and the nations of the world are going to gather against Israel to destroy her. But I'm thankful that the Bible tells us in Romans that even at this present time there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And friend, God has kept His bride. He's going to keep Israel until that day when she's restored. Amen. When the Lamb comes and He sits upon the throne of His glory and He's going to restore the nation of Israel back to its former glory. And I'm thankful I'm going to be there with Him. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to be there with Him. Amen. But Jesus here's dealing with the tribulation period and He gives us all these descriptions of the tribulation period. And I was reading some in the book of Ezekiel this afternoon and just reading through some chapters, and I just found some phrases that just kept redounding in the Scripture. And it seemed almost as if at the end of every chapter in Ezekiel that God says through the penman Ezekiel, He says, "Then shall you know that I am the Lord." And I want to say tonight that the tribulation period at the time of Jacob's trouble, the one thing that it's going to do for the nation of Israel is remind them that our Lord, He is God. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 22, God called unto the nation of Israel and said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else." And I'm thankful tonight that that same God that was God over Israel in Isaiah's day and Ezekiel's day and Jeremiah's day and Daniel's day, He's my God tonight, and He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And Jesus dealing with this tribulation period, the tribulation period is for one reason and one reason only, for the glory of God. And I want to tell you something today, what we've been facing in America in this day, what the church is dealing with, the government that rejects the idea of God and His authority, the government that rejects the idea of the church and how that God has bless the church in this day. Friend, He is showing us that He is God even in the midst of corrupt leadership. We've not had to deal with that until now, have we? And God's faithful in it all. Amen. We see tonight He begins the chapter, Jesus preaching here, and He says, "Then." So immediately as the tribulation period is coming to a close, and then we have the beginning of the millennial kingdom in verse 31, the Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with them, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. We have the judgment of the Gentile nations there in verse number 31 as it begins. So at this time we are awaiting the coming or the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is to the Jew tonight. But I want to make this application to us tonight. We're waiting for the rapture, amen? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "For behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Amen. And I'm thankful I'm getting out of here before the 3 and a half, before the 7. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, the pre-millennial rapture. Friend, I'm not going to have to suffer any of that. Jesus took that for me upon the cross of Calvary, and I don't have to worry myself about that tonight. Amen. What we read here tonight in this text, we have the message as Jesus is proclaiming to the Jews. And he uses this term, the kingdom of heaven. Now this covers the time period from Christ's ascension from off the Mount of Olives in the book of Acts chapter number 1 until the end of the millennial kingdom. And that word, that phrase, the kingdom of heaven, is exclusive to the gospel of Matthew and it only. And so at this time, he is dealing with the principle toward the Jews in the last days of when the Jews will need to call upon God for salvation in the tribulation period. Now we know tonight that when the rapture takes place and those who are left behind, the Bible says those that have heard the love of the truth, they received it not, says they'll receive a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. And I believe that as Paul said in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, that until now he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And I believe that at the time of the rapture that the Spirit of God's work is going to change from a work of conviction unto salvation to a work of confusion unto damnation. I believe that's the way it's going to work out. I believe God's Spirit's going to turn on the hearts of men, and all those who rejected God before the rapture, they're going to die and go to hell. Those that had heard the truth. That'd be your last opportunity. Be the last opportunity. And that's the urgency of the message right here. The rapture's already taken place. The revelation of Jesus Christ is just about to take place. And here we have this procession. This setting is given to us of a Jewish marriage. And we have the bridegroom. And then we have the bridesmaids. And then we have this messenger in verse number 6 that made the midnight cry. And I want to talk to you tonight about being patient unto the coming of the Lord. I believe you can find 3 different people in this text and 3 different descriptions of those people tonight, and we'll look at those just briefly and I'll be done. Notice verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." So first of all, tonight we see those who are waiting. Those who are waiting. The Bible says that all 10 of them, they took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Do you realize tonight that all 10 of these virgins, they all possessed a lamp? And all of those lamps were burning. The Bible says in the book, in verse number 8, the foolish ones said their lamps had went out. They all had lamps and they all was burning lamps. And they all had the same desire. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. But when the call was made and the oil had run out of those foolish ones' lamps, friend, they began to cry for the oil. And I want to say tonight that those lamps represent the Word of God. Those lamps represent the illumination of the Word of God. And if you know your Bible tonight, you'll know that in the last days, God told Daniel in Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 4, he told Daniel to seal the book. He told him to shut it up so that no man would be able to read it and understand it. And at this time, what we are presently talking about is that the illumination will be gone. Look what the text says, our lamps are gone out. When the cry is made, the illumination of the Word of God is going to go away. You know what's going to happen tonight? When the rapture takes place, all illumination of the Scripture is going to go away. God has revealed Himself to man. He's been long-suffering, but He is not going to be long-suffering any longer. Those who've rejected, those who have not received, they will lose the illumination that's given. And these bridesmaids, they were waiting. The Bible says we have a few different things said about them. Their direction, they all went forth to meet the bridegroom. We see their description. In verse 2, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And then verse 3 and 4, we see their differences. In verse 5, we see their drowsiness. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And then in verse 7, we see their desire. Notice what it says. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And now I use this illustration tonight for the sake of understanding. My wife asked me if I was going to use this tonight, but I'm going to. And so here you go, honey, for your pleasure. Amen. We was at the Cracker Barrel the other night. And for the first time in my life, I watched one of those oil lamps run out of oil. And just to let you know what happened, the flame went, phew, went out. And you know, I thought immediately, I was studying to preach this scripture on Sunday morning the next day, and that's just like the Lord just hit me with a ton of bricks. And I began to think about that, and I realized that because that lamp was out of oil, it didn't matter how much somebody trimmed the wick. Didn't matter how many times that somebody come in there and pulled it out and cut it off where it could have a clean burn. You know what? It wouldn't ever catch on fire because it didn't have no oil in it. You know what? There's a lot of people who spend their whole life trimming a wick. They'll trim a wick. They'll say, well, I have knowledge. You know what? It takes knowledge to be saved. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to know you're a sinner. You've got to know you're lost. You've got to know Jesus is the Savior. You've got to know those things. I'm not saying you've got to know the deep truths, but you've got to know a few things. You've got to have some knowledge. But you know what? Here's the reality of it. Some people will go through their entire life having the knowledge that they're a sinner and that Jesus is the Savior, but they've never connected the two together. Yeah, maybe they made a profession. Maybe they know a little bit of Scripture and they could tell you a little bit of Scripture. You know what I've found? I've been preaching at the jail here in the last year more than I ever have in the last 5 years of my ministry. And you know what I've found? It's scary to me how much Scripture some of those men in jail know. I mean, it scares me to death because I know good and well they're not saved. I mean, they wouldn't be in there. They wouldn't act the way they do as soon as I leave. Because here's the reality of it. I'll come in there and preach, and they'll say amen, and they'll do all that. It's good liberty in there to preach. But as soon as I leave, I can stand in the hall and stay there for about 30 minutes. And it don't take that long. They've already done something. I was in there one day before I left, and I'd preached, and a man had gotten saved a few weeks, and I'd dealt with him and dealt with him and dealt with him. And he said, "Preacher, I got saved." And I couldn't argue with him. Couldn't argue with him. I said, well, because I asked him all the questions. I said, well, did you believe? I said, did you realize you were a sinner? I said, do you realize that if you died right now in this moment, you're saying what you have is good enough to get you to heaven? He said, yes, sir. But you know what? It wasn't 15 minutes after I left out of that place, that man had grabbed the phone off the wall and threw it and hit the ground, and it busted in a million pieces. What I'm saying tonight is this. They show no evidence of salvation. They might can tell you that they are. They might can answer all your questions. But when it really comes down to it, is there any connection with them to heaven? And how is it with you tonight? You know what? The whole world is waiting for Jesus to come. Do you realize that tonight? The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, waiting for the adoption of sons. The whole world is waiting for the event of the ages when the rapture takes place. But most people don't even realize it. We live each day and most of us, we go have jobs. I'm thankful for, I know most people in this place would, but you go out in the world, nobody works anymore. But what I'm saying tonight is this, is that they live each day with an expectancy of something happening, but they don't even know what it is. You know what? The Bible tells us that creation is waiting for this day. All of these virgins were waiting. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. They all had lamps. They all had a copy of the Word of God. They probably believed some of it. Probably could quote you some of it. But when in reality tonight, what was the difference? Well, notice what the Bible said in verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know what Paul was saying tonight? He was saying the power is within us. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You know where these wise ones had oil? They had it in their vessel. They had it on the inside. You know, there's people that will live their whole life and they'll never have it on the inside. You know what? Until it gets on the inside, you're not going to know peace. until it gets on the inside, you're not going to get to experience true patience. Until it gets on the inside, you'll never understand the promises that God has given unto us. Friend, you realize the only comfort that a believer can have in this troublesome world, you look back in days gone by, you think about Corrie Ten Boom and all that she faced when she was in that concentration camp over there, ready to die at any moment. She just, at any time, they could have come and got her and killed her. How do you think she had peace? Friend, it wasn't in nobody around her. It wasn't nothing she was holding on to, but it was what was in her heart, friend, that kept her from losing her mind in a place of adversity. And that's the only place we can rest in tonight. It's the only thing we can rest in. All of these 10, they were waiting. I'm thankful some of them were prepared. They had it in their vessels. We got to have it on the inside tonight. Got to have it on the inside. We see those who are waiting. Second of all, I want to show you those who are watching. I want to say this tonight. Those who are waiting would generally be all of mankind. But then you've got those who are watching. And my mind immediately went to Ezekiel and the watchman. Those who are looking out for the souls of men. And God told Ezekiel in one place, he said that the blood's going to be on your hands if you don't do what I tell you. Do you realize tonight that your pastor, if he doesn't do what God tells him, if he doesn't preach what God tells him, the blood of souls of lost men will be on his hands. Be on my hand tonight if I refuse to tell the truth. You have this in verse number 6, those who are watching. Notice verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And I want to just say this in passing tonight. I can't preach this message without saying this. In this midnight hour in which we're living in, now more than ever, you need to hear the cry of the messenger. That the Lord is coming. And everything that he tells you to do in light of that, you ought to be faithful to surrender and to submit and to obey the word of the man of God, because he's reading the book of God, getting the word from the Spirit of God. You ought to listen to what he has to say and prepare your heart under the coming of the Lord. You ought to be ready at any moment, at any time. Peter said in his epistle, he said to be ready always to answer every man according to the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. To be ready always to answer every man. Because there's those who are watching. This man, he was listening. He was looking. You know what? John, he was looking in Revelation chapter number 4. The Bible says, after this I looked. And he saw a great and glorious sight. You know why? Because he was looking. If he hadn't have been looking, if he hadn't have been listening, he might not have got to see that. And how important it is for us tonight to watch. Jesus said in verse 13, he said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." There's those who are watching tonight. We read in verse number 8 of the illumination that is taken away. But then in verse number 9, we see the instruction that's given. I want you to notice the instruction tonight. And I want to give you a take on this that I've never heard. This may be familiar to you tonight, and I'm not going to say nothing new, but I just want to express to you out of this verse the truth that's given here. The Bible says, "But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." You know what, tonight, in my mind, that's good instruction. Look what they said. They said, not so. Wait, that's not how this thing works. He said, but there might not be enough for us and you if we try to give you part of what we got. Let's go rather to them that sell. Notice this last phrase. And buy for yourselves. You know what? You cannot ride mom and daddy's coattails your entire life. You can't ride the preacher's coattails your entire life. You can't ride grandma and grandpa's coattails for your entire life, because those who have faith for themselves, they had one day to come to the realization that their mom and daddy wasn't going to give it to them, or their preacher wasn't going to give it to them, but they had to go and seek after it for themselves, because there is not enough if we try to divide it up together. You know what, tonight, all of you couldn't make it off my faith. Couldn't do it. You can't borrow faith tonight. You got to have your own faith. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 12, verse number 3, that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, tonight you have the ability to place faith in whatever you want to put it in. The Bible tells us that. We have the ability to put it in whatever we want to put it in, but we put it in all the wrong things. That's the problem. We trust in ourselves. We trust in our job. We trust in this. We trust in that instead of clinging to Christ. But this was good instruction. They said, not so. That ain't how this works. Let me tell you tonight, it ain't how it works. You've got to get saved personally. Salvation is a personal work. The Spirit of God deals with you personally. You have to believe God personally. Just because your mom and daddy believe God does not mean that you believe God. You say, preacher, will they tell me that I've always been a Christian? Nobody's always been a Christian. There's a day in my life and everybody's life in here that you're going to have to choose to believe what God says for yourself. Yeah. They give them good instruction. But here's the problem. Even though it was good instruction, it was just too late to carry it out. You know what? One of these days, you're going to get to the place in your life where everybody else is gone. You're going to remember that instruction that was given unto you. You should have followed God. You should have sought God. You should have did what God said. But there ain't going to be nobody to tell you that. What if it's too late? What if the rapture was to take place tonight? What if Jesus was to come? It wouldn't matter how many messages Jonathan has preached to you. It wouldn't matter how many times he stood up here and preached to you, because you refuse to obey when the invitation was given. If you reject that, friend, it's on your hands tonight. If he's done what he's supposed to, if Dr. Barker has preached it just like God, give it to him, friend, that blood will not be on his hands, but it'll be on yours. You know, that rich man in Luke chapter number 16, the Bible tells us that he desired for his brethren. He said, oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus unto my brethren that he may testify unto them that they come not in this awful place of torment. You remember Abraham responded unto him. He said, son, he said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word of God. They have the truth. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would believe. He said, no, it don't work that way. You know what? When somebody in this life tells you that it don't work that way, 99% of the time, they're right. It don't work that way. And that's so hard for us to receive because we're humans. I myself, being of the male gender, I desire when somebody tells me that, that just makes me want to do it that much worse. You can't do it that way. It don't work that way. But here's the reality of it tonight. It's the way it's always been. It's always been by faith. Romans chapter 4 tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Genesis 15 and verse number 6, the same account is given. He's the father of the faith. But even before him, Adam had to believe the word of God, that God was going to provide a coat of skins for them. Abel had to believe the word of God when he brought the sacrifice of the lamb. All the men in the Old Testament of faith, they had to believe God. It's always been by faith. But there's always been a limited time. We're not granted repentance forever. We're granted a space to repent. The illumination is gone at this time in these folks' lives, but the instruction given was good, but it was too late. You know, I believe that after the rapture takes place, that there'll probably be some people who believe the Word of God, and they might say, well, oh, we've missed it. We need to do this. And it might be the right instruction, but the problem is it's too late. So much I could say about that. We see those who are waiting. We see those who are watching. But I want to say this tonight, and this is the most precious part of this message. I want you to notice he who is willing. Notice verse number 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You know what the Bible says? They that were ready, they went in with him. They didn't get rejected. Why? Because they were ready. They had prepared. They had made the necessary preparation that when the time come for the Lord to come, there was no question about it. These are the bridesmaids. They're going to the marriage. You know what? I don't want the Lord to have to look very far. I want it to be clear as day when He comes for me that I'm one of His. I don't want people to wonder, man, how did He get in? I want it to be obvious. I want people to know that I love my Savior and that I love His Word and that I love the ministry and I love sinners and that every sinner that calls upon Him can be saved by grace through faith. The same way I was born again. And I want to die proclaiming that message because it's the grace that saved me tonight. he who's willing. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance tonight. Do you realize the door is still open? Do you realize the opportunity, the invitation is being given? The rapture has not taken place. I'm still here, friend. There's still time tonight. The door of the ark is still open. Get in while the water's good. Amen. He who's willing. What I'm saying tonight is this: to be patient under the coming of the Lord. You know, that word patient, many times we connotate that as waiting for something. But you know, that verse, I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." We've connotated that verse to mean, well, if we'll just be patient, sit here and wait on God. I don't think that's what that verse means. I think it means we take the initiative to do what God already said. I like what one preacher said. He said, there's just some things in life we don't got to be convicted about because it's a commandment clearly given in the Word of God. Well, I'm just not convicted about that. Well, the Bible talks against it. It says it's wrong. It's clear. It's written in black and white. Just believe it and do it. That's our problem. We choose to reject the truth because it doesn't feel right to us. You know what? I don't always feel saved, but thank God even when I don't feel it, I am. Man, I thought I'd get some help on that tonight. But man, I'm telling you tonight, even when I don't feel saved, when I mess up, when I fall short, when I miss the mark, thank God I'm in His hand. And if I'm in His hand, no man's able to take me out of it. Amen? Nobody can get me out of His hand. The Bible says in verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But He answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. You know, the problem tonight is not whether you know Him, but does He know you? We've made it too long, and I've probably even been guilty of it myself. Come to the altar, and somebody needs to be saved, dealing with them. Well, do you know Jesus? Well, chances are they wouldn't have come to the altar if they did. They know who He is. They know why they're at the altar. They're a sinner. They need to be saved. Jesus is the Savior. And I know what we mean when we say that, but that's not the problem. Does Jesus know who they are? The Bible tells us Jesus spoke and He said, there will be many that say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, then will I say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. It's not about what we do, it's not about who we are, but it's about if He knows who we are tonight. You know, here's the reality of it tonight. Those other virgins, they had just left. And there's a parable. You cannot take a parable and take every point of it and try to put it in interpretation because you'll miss it every time. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. If you try to apply every single part of it, you'll miss it every time. You'll miss the point that He's trying to make. The point that is trying to be made here in this parable tonight is the conclusion is this, is that Jesus is coming and that we need to be ready. It's not that you go and buy salvation. You can't buy salvation. Salvation's paid for. You receive it. It's a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We've made it of works in this day. We've made it to where we feel like if we don't do right or don't feel right this day that we're not saved anymore. If somebody don't make 10 professions of faith, God help them, friend, they're just not saved. If they got saved when they're 4 and they didn't make 10 professions after they got made the first one they were 4, friend, I know people that got saved when they're 4 and 5 years old and they're still trusting it to this day 50-some years later. And I know people that's made profession after profession after profession and still struggle with it. Here's the reality of it tonight. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You know, my salvation's not anchored in how I feel, but it's anchored in the blessed rock of ages tonight. I stand upon a firm foundation. No man can take me out of His hand tonight. I believe God. He loves me tonight. He loves you. He loves us tonight. and a God that loves us. Jimmy Millsap said it this way, and man, I'm telling you tonight, his pastor told him, he'd made two professions of faith. The 18-year-old young man said he still just wasn't settled about it. You probably heard his testimony before, but he said he went to his preacher's house way up in the morning and said he was just praying and begging God to save him. Said his preacher had read every verse of Scripture to him that he knew to quote, and he said he still couldn't get assurance. And said as he was walking out in the walkway of that porch from the man of God, the man of God looked at him and said, Jimmy, if you want to be saved that bad, God loves you too much to let you go to hell. And man, I'm thankful tonight that if you want to be saved, he's not going to let you go to hell. Amen. He's not going to do that. But if you're not ready when he comes, let me tell you tonight, it ain't going to matter when he comes. Because when he comes, it's all over with. Look what the Bible said, verse 10, the latter part. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Here's the reality of it tonight. When Noah got in the ark, he'd preached for some hundred and some years that flood's coming. God's going to judge the earth. He'd preached to all who would hear it. The flood's coming. God's going to kill all mankind because of your sin. They said, Noah, what are you talking about? It's never rained before. You know, you realize that in that part of the text that before Genesis 6, I believe it is when the flood took place, that the Bible says the earth was watered with the dew of the ground. The water literally came up from the ground and it watered the face of the earth. But when you read the account of the flood, it says the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and then we have the process of evaporation, condensation, and precipitation that we have now. That rain goes into the bodies of water and then it evaporates back up into the heavens and it condensates and then it falls back down again. But before Noah's day, that never happened before. They said, Noah, you're crazy. You know what Peter said concerning the last days? He said, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Let me tell you tonight, I don't care how much the world don't believe it. I don't care how much you don't believe it tonight. Jesus is coming again tonight. And he's coming to take us home. And if you're not ready, you will be left behind tonight. You will be left behind. Here's the fact of the matter tonight. Are you ready to meet him? If you are tonight, be patient under the coming of the Lord. He's coming again. All our trouble is going to be erased. Every trial is going to be over with. You know what? There's not a problem you got. You've heard it 1,000 times that heaven won't fix. Hallelujah tonight to the Lamb of God. Be patient under the coming of the Lord. Preacher.